This is The Blade and Beyond with the DC Dynamic Duo. Learn every detail about life on both ends of the knife. And now, live from Washington, D.C., your hosts, board-certified plastic surgeons, Dr. Michael Somanik and Dr. Troy Pittman.
Good afternoon, everybody, and happy Sunday. This is The Blade and Beyond. I'm Dr. Troy Pittman. It is Sunday, November 7th.
And I'm Dr. Michael Somanik.
So we're doing something a little different today. We are doing an Instagram Live while we're recording the podcast. So for those of you that are watching live, feel free to Instagram questions for us. And we'll get going. So we are broadcasting live from Miami. And you want to talk a little bit about why we're in Miami?
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about. So this has been quite a whirlwind for the last 5 days because I've attended two conferences. One has been the Global Aesthetics Conference. And this has been the first live conference that I've attended since the pandemic. So kind of surreal. I've done seminars and little things like that in select cities.
But you did the Aesthetic Society, but it was like a very small...
That was a very small... This was like a larger scale meeting. So it was really great to see a lot of my colleagues. I talked about the surgical lip lift. I talked about the male aesthetic and gave a couple talks. So that was kind of part one. And I found a couple vendors of different technologies that you and I talked about that we'll discuss on future podcasts that I'm going to plan on bringing to the office. But then the larger part of the weekend was the Cutera University Clinical Forum, which was basically about 9 expert panelists got invited to Miami to discuss with active users. So there were about 450 users of Cutera devices, like the TrueSculpt Flex, the TrueSculpt ID, which are non-surgical body contouring devices. And basically what we do the entire weekend is we share our before and after results, and we go over the settings that we use and answer questions that people have across the country about different technologies or different, basically the procedures and the treatment cycles that they want to discuss.
So it's really kind of like an aesthetic think tank where everyone is sharing ideas. So a lot of people who are at the conference, correct me if I'm wrong, are people who are using the devices.
They all are.
And so they're looking for ways to implement different things into their practice by listening to experts.
Yeah, and they really make you think because they ask questions that you're like, oh, I never thought of that. And and similarly, I talked to some of my colleagues and some of the panelists that use slightly higher temperatures for some of the fat reduction devices that we use very safely. So all of these pointers are going to come back to the office to benefit our patients, which I'm really excited about. And we'll talk to our team on Tuesday when we return.
Yeah, you know, even though these, it seems like, oh, it's a weekend in Miami. I mean, these are educational courses that we... that we're asked to participate in. You need to be really an expert in your field to do these things. And we take education really seriously. So both of us are oftentimes invited to speak at national meetings or weekend seminars where we're really sharing our clinical expertise and experience with our peers. And it really is truly an honor, I think, to participate in these conferences.
Yeah, I mean, we work hard to do that. I always say, like, I consider it a privilege to be asked to do this. But we also work very hard to get invited to these. You know, they see our hard work throughout the years. We participate in a number of clinical trials with these devices. And, you know, our results really are proven across the country to be some of the better results because we study the devices almost to exhaustion.
And we're involved in clinical research. We're writing papers. And a lot of times the papers are published and then you're asked to come and talk about your publication as well.
Yeah, and it was moderated by, he's a dermatologist that's based on the East Coast, I think in Connecticut, and he has been involved in technologies for years, and it's always great to hear his point of view and his perspective, and then the rest of the panelists' perspective. So it's quite humbling sometimes to see the amount of work that these people are mm-hmm. doing, and again, really learn from them as well. It's not just me shooting out everything I know. It's me absorbing things like a sponge from some of the experts as well.
Yeah, I mean, you learn so much from educating others, whether it's a resident in the operating room or giving a lecture at a conference. I think that's one of the greatest things about education is that you're constantly a lifelong learner.
And the other thing is that, you know, I really enjoy it. And I think you enjoy it as well. And there's
because it's a performance. We get to be on stage.
It is a performance.
We love performing.
Well, yes, your history, you love performing. And it is a performance, but it's also, I love educating people. And there's something so gratifying about it. And it's another component of what I do on a daily basis. It's not just surgery or the non-surgical injectables or treatments that are offered. And I love it because people benefit from it and it makes people better. And that's the underlying theme here is like, I love helping people be a better version of themselves.
Well, I mean, I used to, you know, I always say that we can only operate on one patient at a time. But if you are in giving a lecture and you're lecturing 400 people and those people are going to take your techniques and bring that back to their patients, you're actually able to have this ripple effect. You're able to have a better, more profound effect on your field rather than just one patient at a time.
Yeah, absolutely. So that has been the last 4 days of the Miami trip. And now we have, after the podcast, we have about 24 hours of rest before we head back.
Yeah. Anybody out there who's watching have any questions that they would like answered before we go on to our next segment?
Well,
I'm seeing all of these people, and all of these people are talkative people who I'm sure have something to say.
Well, they may have something on the next topic, because the next topic is...
In the news.
You know, now for those of you that are watching, you can actually see, like, we have our laptops out. I have my laptop out because I'm constantly referencing things, making sure that I get the facts straight, and creating a cohesive podcast. So this is a little behind the scenes.
And what you're not seeing is all of the little cut and paste that happen after the fact, because we're not sophisticated enough to just hit a button and have the in the news thing come up. And we're not right. Howard Stern. So
we are not yet.
We are doing our best in our little mom and pop shop. So you want to talk about BBL in the news?
Well, I do.
Brazilian butt lift.
I do, but I first want to say, for those that are watching as well, we're speaking into one microphone, mm-hmm. which traditionally we don't sit like this usually. We usually have another microphone.
It's right there. It's actually in the screen.
I'm going to move it. There we go. Okay, so we're one microphone, and we usually have two microphones, but... for some reason, we just didn't like the sound.
We were very close together. So to each have our own microphone, it was weird. And we're also in a room that's very reverberant.
Okay. So the first thing that I saw in the news that really surrounds Brazilian butt lifts. And it was something that I think was popularized. Was it popularized by the Kardashians initially? Or like the big butt phenomenon before I go into the article?
Yeah, I mean, probably Kim Kardashian is the biggest butt known. I mean, she's known for her big butt. Just to talk a little bit about what a Brazilian butt lift is, it's basically taking fat through liposuction, purifying that fat, and then injecting it into the butt to make a fatter, wider, more projecting butt.
Yes. So this recent article is talking about TikTok, which I think we're all familiar with, has come up with a meme called the BBL effect, or the Brazilian butt lift effect. And it's basically people that can put this like meme on showing kind of like, oh, I've gotten a bigger butt and a new enhanced confidence.
Oh, it's a filter?
I don't think it's a filter. I could totally be wrong by this article, but it looks like it's just a meme of people like acting like they've had BBLs.
With, and, like, toilet paper stuffed in their pants?
I guess, there's a ton of examples. And, yes, one person has, like, toilet paper stuffed in their pants. But it's becoming really popular. And it's almost kind of like popularizing the procedure. Mm-hmm. But the underlying theme here is that it is inherently a very dangerous procedure that has like one of the highest mortality rates for plastic surgery procedures in general.
So it actually is the highest mortality rate. There was a study that was published in 2018, which said the mortality rate, so people dying from this procedure, is about 1 in 3,000. Now, I don't want to do any surgery where 1 in 3,000 people can be killed.
Yeah, you don't do this procedure. Let's be clear.
Yeah, I don't do this procedure at all. It's incredibly dangerous. I think that at baseline, big butts are most of what we do in plastic surgery really is following fashion. And so when you look back at the 80s, everybody had big hair, big puffy eyebrows, big shoulder pads. So that led itself to big breasts, bigger breast implants, and it was really fashion-based. With the Kardashians, with high-waisted mom jeans, we know that a more curvy
butt...
Which
I liked, by the way.
A more curvy butt is what's in fashion. But getting your butt injected with fat and being left with this big butt, there's going to come a time where big butts are going to go out, and we're going to be back to low-rise jeans, skinnier, smaller, straight up and down waists, and we're going to end up liposuctioning a lot of this. But that's neither really here nor there. The thing that makes Brazilian butt lift so dangerous is whenever you transfer fat from one part of the body to the other, you're really relying on the blood supply of the recipient site to grow into the fat so the fat will survive.
Like with all fat grafting.
But fat itself is inherently not very vascular. So injecting fat into the butt fat, the amount of fat that will survive is lower. So the what ideally you would do would be inject some of that fat into the muscle, because the muscle has a great blood supply and you're going to have a lot more take or survival of the fat. But within those muscles are large blood vessels that go right into the vena cava, which is the heart, which is the vein that goes right into the heart and lungs.
Right.
If fat gets into that, the fat will travel in the venous system into the lungs and basically block the blood supply to the lungs, which causes
which kills you.
Death.
Yes.
And it's not something that you know is about to happen. It's like you can be fat grafting, you can be putting the fat in, and the patient just suddenly codes and dies.
Well, meaning like the blood supply gets cut off, the oxygenation gets cut off, and then they just die.
Right. And so
it's quite tragic.
You know, trained plastic surgeons who know anatomy, there are panels and recommendations on how to do these procedures safely. But unfortunately, particularly here in South Florida, there are a lot of non-board certified kind of chop shops where they're doing these procedures.
That's what we call them.
Just kind of willy-nilly, and that's causing a big problem. Someone has a question. Do you think the BBL is a trend that will soon go away? Well, yes, we do. I think that as soon as fashion changes in another 5 years, everyone who had a BBL, or a lot of people with BBLs, are going to be coming for liposuction. I actually see a fair number of patients in the office who are coming in asking to have their butts slim down.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is a well-done BBL, and I think that demographically some people get smaller butts. And, you know, for some people that have like a flat butt and they want a little bit more contouring, that may be a procedure that works for them.
And or that actually, little hip dip.
Yeah, it looks nice on them, but it's the ones that get large volumes of fat, where literally you see them walking down the streets and they're like these big rounded globes that don't fit their body. Yeah. I mean, it's very obvious that it is a surgical type of thing.
Well, I mean, some of the butts that you see here in South Florida, they're grotesque. You know, and nothing looks worse than seeing a woman with little tiny skinny legs, and then their butt goes like out like this. And it looks like it's got a mind of its own.
I worry about the support system of their legs and their feet. I can just see the knees buckling.
Well, and the support system of their butt. So one of the biggest things that we see oftentimes is just like the breasts, when women breastfeed, the breasts get big, the breasts start to sag, is we're seeing buttock ptosis, which basically means the once perky Brazilian butt is now sagging And so now you have a big saggy butt.
Right. And actually there was a question this weekend about doing, you know, we have a muscle stimulation device called TrueSculpt Flex that we use for butt lifts, non-surgical butt lifts, you know, abdomen, flanks, etc. And there was a question about people that have had BBLs and they feel like their butt is sagging. Do we feel that Flex would be an appropriate treatment for them? And I think the overwhelming response was yes, because you're stimulating the muscle. So if you're going to try to lift that heavy skin envelope that has now been created, I mean, it's probably 5 pounds heavier, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, let's talk a minute about TrueSculpt Flex, because I do think that TrueSculpt Flex has been a game changer for buttock enhancement. What TrueSculpt Flex is a muscle stimulating device. We've talked about this in previous podcasts, but it's a muscle stimulating device that goes on the butt and it mimics doing about 30,000 squats. And so you're obviously...
Which is a lot.
So you are building muscle. You get a lift, a little bit more projection to the butt. And, you know, I can remember three or four years ago, I was injecting Sculptra into the butt, which is, it's a filler type injectable where we're injecting small particles of tiny pieces of plastic almost, and that draws water to itself and builds collagen. And it was all the rage to do Sculptra or hyperdilute radius into the butt for a little bit of buttock enhancement. And what I'm seeing in our practice is TrueSculpt Flex actually enhances the butt in a way that is superior and more predictable than the injectables. And it's 100% safe and no one's gonna die from TrueSculpt Flex.
Right, and I think that anytime you can stimulate muscles to create definition, that's always safer. However, you know, there still are a lot of people that do Sculptra or the hyperdilute radius, which is a totally different product. It's a calcium-based product that is also an injectable collagen stimulator. I do think that the safety profile of Sculptra and hyperdilute radius is better than fat grafting because you're injecting it more superficially under the subcutaneous tissues. The problem with it is that it takes several treatments. The results are still unpredictable. Mm-hmm. You don't know what you're going to get with it. And it really is costly.
It's very expensive.
It's not just a couple thousand dollars because you need to use a lot of product with this. And, you know, again, it's kind of tough to say like you are going to have to pay price $4,000 to $6,000 per treatment.
And we don't know what the result is
going to
be.
And we're not sure what your result is going to be. You know, I certainly wouldn't sign up for that, but there are people that are looking for alternatives. There's a niche for it out there.
Sure.
It's just not for everyone. And I think we do a good job at creating expectations. Well, you do. I don't do any of this for the butt, but you do a good job of creating expectations for people, which is probably why they do Flex more than Sculptra and Radius.
Right, right. And certainly we 100%, we want everything to be safe. And, you know, I can think of 5 plastic surgeons in the United States, maybe 6 or 7, if I really think hard, who perform these procedures regularly. And just like anything else, the more you perform the procedure, in a safe manner, the higher the safety profile. And certainly, I think that if you're considering doing a BBL with fat, you absolutely, this is not the time to look for the cheapest person out there. It's not the time to go to the backwoods of Miami because it's cheaper. You really want to get this done by someone who knows what they're doing, understands the anatomy, and is doing it really safely.
Yeah, and I was just looking at some of the statistics from this article, and it said that 15 women have died after BBLs in South Florida alone, which, I mean, that's scary. And I don't want to come out to say, like, you absolutely shouldn't get a BBL. I don't want to be that person because I think there is a way to safely get it. But can we talk about, like, every time we go back to D.C., the 1 or 2 women that are like in a wheelchair getting wheeled to the gate of the plane?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big market down here in South Florida.
But I mean, they get on the plane. First of all, they're like, they're uncomfortable because they're flying from out of state to get this done, probably for a very inexpensive price. They can't sit on their butt in the plane. So they're literally on their knees, sticking their butt out in the aisle. I mean, it's like something I've never seen before. I feel like I'm on another planet. And the flight attendants are, they're kind of used to it now, which is scary. The first time one of the flight attendants saw this, she shared with us, she was like, I didn't know what was going on with this woman. And then she was like, I had surgery. I can't sit on my butt. And
that's, and they can't buckle up.
No. I mean,
they're really just kind of kneeling, facing backwards.
I mean, and not to joke about it, but I mean, if there's ever some type of extreme turbulence and they go flying with this new butt in the air, I mean, they could cause damage to their neighbors. So anyway.
So that's BBL. We have a lot to say about it. Anybody out there have any questions for us? Gosh. Please ask a question.
We're having too much fun with this right now. And I just hope that the sound quality with our one mic ends up being good for our podcast.
Yeah, I think there's probably going to be a little bit of reverb, but I'm sure that we'll hear about it from all of the people listening.
Oh, we have a lot of critical people, let me tell you. Well, I want to share some of the things that I learned this weekend some of the devices.
Okay.
So I know I said that I didn't, I'm going to give you a little kind of teaser with this. You know, we have our Flex treatment.
And which is a 45-minute treatment.
Which is a 45-minute treatment. Well,
times four.
We are currently exploring the possibility with the company to drop this treatment down to a, drum roll please,
15-minute treatment.
A 15-minute treatment, which, think about that for your muscle stimulation. Oh, and by the way, it doesn't compromise the amount, the efficacy, the amount of stimulation you get. It actually kind of triples it, so it makes it slightly more uncomfortable, but you're in it to win it for 15 minutes, and you are in and out of that office in probably about 25 minutes getting like your six pack, your butt lift, your etc. with
so
it.
You're doing 30,000 sit-ups or 30,000 squats in 15 minutes, which is pretty crazy.
I'm sore just thinking about it.
Yeah, I mean, for those of you out there who've done any of these muscle stimulating treatments, they're challenging. You have to work your way up to it.
I mean, you do feel like you are working out, but like a lot. Yeah. It's not just doing 20 sit-ups. Like, it's a little bit strenuous during it, but it's meant to be. We're trying to stimulate muscle in a very like hyperactive manner. Mm-hmm. So that's the only way that you're going to get definition in any of these regions of your body that you're doing this.
Yeah. Did you learn anything else this weekend?
Well, I saw some, speaking of the Flex, it's like the theme right now, some really good bicep results.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I saw this guy who had a tattoo on his bicep. And his before and after, you could actually see the tattoo a little bit larger, so you knew his bicep was bigger. And so I was...
Was it a woman with a butt and her butt got bigger?
Yeah, it was a BBL tattoo on her bicep, and it actually grew in size. I found a way to, you know, traditionally CO2 resurfacing is only meant for light-skinned people, Fitzpatrick's 1-3, which is basically Caucasian and very, very light Latino. But I found a way, speaking to one of my dermatology colleagues, to potentially do CO2 resurfacing on darker skin types.
And how do you do that?
So it is with a specific topical steroid formulation. It's a taper you start them on the day of their treatment for about 6 days. Excuse me. And it basically prevents any risk of hyperpigmentation post-procedure. So that was very exciting to me because I have a lot of acne scar patients that are Indian, Hispanic, et cetera, that are very limited to the types of procedures that they can get. So the fact that I can potentially incorporate this into their regimen is very exciting for me.
Sure. No, that would be a total game changer.
And a couple other things, it was just like team building, which I feel like our team is really good. So I didn't take a whole lot from that, but it's always good to hear like what we're doing right with our team and how proud of them that we are. And I know some of them are tuned in. So hi, ladies. And that's about all I have for the weekend. So do you have anything else to share?
Well, I fixed a tire yesterday on our car. While you were at the meeting,
you were very productive.
One of the rims was broken on the tire of our car, and I went and I purchased a new rim.
Well, no, let's take a step back. You didn't purchase a new rim; you purchased a new cap for the rim.
Well,
taking a tire off and putting a new jack wasn't engaged.
I didn't change a tire. I said I changed the rim,
the cap on the rim.
It's part of the rim.
Okay, yes.
And it's a piece where they said go to parts and get the part and then go to service and they'll put it on. Yes. And I took matters into my own hand. And I had the tires filled. I balanced the computer that was saying that the...
You did?
I actually did that part.
Oh, wow.
So I did a little auto mechanic work while you were at the meeting.
I know. I'm very proud of you for that. And BMW filled the front tires because apparently they were like...
They're supposed to be at 32 and they were at 21. So we were basically driving on the run flats.
And I drove it the day before. I was like, oh, this is a smooth ride. Maybe. So anyhow. Yeah. So you did that. You were very productive. We're about to have a nice relaxing day. We're going to go to dinner tonight and then we head home tomorrow. So
yes. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in to our first Instagram Live.
Podcast.
This is... everyone's being very quiet, and I'm looking at all these names, and none of these are quiet people, but...
We know all of you.
They've either joined, and they're asleep, or they've muted us because they're bored. So
please, wake up.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week.
We'll talk to you next week from D.C.
Yeah, from D.C.
Gotta turn this off. Oh, 17 people joined. That's pretty good. That's actually better than something. Oh, did you stop the recording?
Oh, boy. That's crazy.
That's a wrap. Remember to share the podcast with your friends. Follow the docs on Instagram at SominicMD, at Dr. Troy Pittman, and at DC Dynamic Duo. To learn more about the procedures discussed on today's podcast, visit www.SominicPittmanMD.com. That's www.SominicPittmanMD.com.